part, the second part, we began praising Allah, sending peace and blessings to Abu Rasulullah. And then I said that Imam Fath al-Mawsuli, rahimahullah ta'ala, said, Al-Muhibbu la yajidu ma hubbillahi lid-dunya ladda. The one who loves Allah, he would not find any taste for this life war, for the attraction of this life war. Yani he just takes from it what makes him live to worship, not makes him live to live, or makes him live to love it. La. You are here to love Allah, to serve Allah, to worship Allah. That's it. To conduct that, you need something to eat, something so you get strong. You need some rest, you need some food, you need some drink, so you get strong to do these worships. And then he said, وَلَا يَقْبُلُ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ طَرْفَ عَيْنٍ. Although you will need to eat, rest like that, but you will still never ever forget about Allah, even for a fraction of a second. That is the one who loves Allah. As for the person, you see him away from the remembrance of Allah, believe me, he is not a lover of Allah. He does not love Allah. Even if he claims so, he does not love Allah. Some other of the Salaf said that the one who loves Allah, his heart is flying. It's flying. He does not suffer. It's flying. He does a lot of remembrance. He is always trying to put himself in the cause of pleasure of Allah, by any means that he can. If it is to go and help someone, you will find him going and help someone, because this pleases Allah. If it is by holding anger, you will find him holding anger, because this pleases Allah, and like that. If it is by giving out what you have, you will find him. You don't get surprised, akhi. Aisha gave all the money that Ibn Zubayr sent to her. He sent to her a bag of 100,000 dirham. She was fasting. Just in that day, she gathered all the poor people in Medina and she distributed the money to them. All. Finished. When she finished distributing, her slave said to her, Mom, didn't you save nothing for us to buy something to eat for iftar? She said, oh, if you remind me, if you would have reminded me. She forgot that she's fasting. She did not forget that she is poor. She does not have money. She even forgot that she is fasting. Hunger is now hurting her. But she forgot. Imam Ahmad was fasting one day. And he had only one piece bread. A poor person passed by and said, Ya Imam, I'm very hungry, I need to eat. Imam Ahmad did not even cut it in two. He gave it all to him. Why? Because one day Aisha radiallahu anha passed by a poor man begging. She gave him something. And she went. He said, Jazakallahu khayr. She returned back. She said, Wa jazakallahu khayr. Her slave saw this and said, Mom, why did you need to go back? She said, I was afraid. His dua goes with my money. Yani, but equal. One for one. She said, no, I want my money saved for the other day. Look to these people how they think. Today, if he does not say, Jazakallahu khayran, next time I'm not going to give him. Next time I'm not going to give him. And if he does anything wrong to me, I will speak to everyone. I gave him, I helped him, but he still does this thing wrong to me. Subhanallah. We are not dealing with Allah, ikhwan. We are dealing with our own selves. We're just looking to our benefits here in this world. Which is not, when you look in real to it, it's not benefit. It is like someone who is drinking a lot of honey. Honey is good. But when you drink a lot of it, you die. The sugar in your blood goes up and you die. It is tasty, it is good, but it is harming you. But if you take it as Allah Ta'ala guided you, you will inshallah Ta'ala be healthy. If you want to know the consequences of the love of Allah, then listen to Allah Ta'ala. He is telling you these consequences and results. Allah Ta'ala said, فَإِذَا أَحْبَبْتُهُ كُنْتُ سَمْعَهُ الَّذِي يَسْمَعُ بِهِ وَبَصَرَهُ الَّذِي يُبْصِرُ بِهِ. And when I love him, I am his hearing with which he hears, his seeing with which he sees, his hand with which he strikes, his foot with which he walks. Is that in real? No, it's not in real. Allah is not going to be your foot. Now, but what does it mean? Listen to the ulama. What they say. Imam al-Bayhaqi, in his book, Al-Arba'in al-Sughra, said, he's saying, كُنْتُ سَمْعَهُ الَّذِي يَسْمَعُ بِهِ, I am his hearing that he is with, meaning that he is going to protect you from listening to what he hates, which is a sin. He is going to protect you from looking to what is to what he hates, which is going to be a sin. He is going to protect you from what your hand can reach of non-lawful things. Allah will protect you. And foot from walking to anything that, or any place that Allah Ta'ala is displeased with. So Allah Ta'ala is protecting you. Imam al-Khattabi says, these are examples. But the meaning is that Allah Ta'ala provides you success in all what you do. In all what you do with these body parts, your eyes, Allah will keep your eyes for you, keep sighting for you, and keep you only looking to what pleases Him. Allah keep your hearing, and keep you only using it, listening to what pleases Him, and this and the like. Now, and He's saying, وَلَئِن سَأَلَنِي لَأُعْطِيَنَّهُ, whenever He, meaning this slave, asked me for anything, I will surely give it to him. In other narration, he Allah Ta'ala said, in da'ani ajabtu, if he supplicates me, I will respond. Yani for example, one day you want a reservation, you went to the airport, they say, wallahi sorry, it is full, fully booked. You say, Ya Allah, I'm your slave. Give me this. Uqsim billah, Allah will give you. Allah will give it to you. How will Allah increase one more seat on the plane? No, it's not like that. But Allah Ta'ala will make one passenger not to come, not to show up. And then you get it. It happens many times. It happens many times. Now, I remember one day, or let me continue. So some of the ulama said that these are two signs of the love of Allah that shows that this person is a wali now. And this is a wali. If you ask Allah and Allah responds, if you ask Allah refuge and Allah Ta'ala protect you, then these are two signs of walaya. Of wali. But it does not necessarily mean that if you ask Allah one day and He doesn't give you, then you say, oh, I'm not a wali, I'm sad. No. But usually, Allah Ta'ala gives and prevents. Now, But as long as you come closer to Allah, be sure that Allah Ta'ala will only choose the best for you. Maybe now you don't see it. An example, you go to the airport, no seats. Ya Allah, Ya Allah. All the passengers show up. They say, sorry, akhi. We saw you raising your hand in the airport. We are sorry. All passengers came. Sir, I asked Allah, He didn't give me. Maybe I'm not good. La, don't say that. You will hear in a while. Airplane took off, you went back home, open the TV, radio, and you hear in the news that there was air crash. You say, Alhamdulillah. That was it there. So Allah responded to your supplication and protected you in a better way. He gave you something better. Now, so these ahadith very necessary to be understood well, especially after seasons of worship, like Ramadan, like the Hajj, because in Ramadan and in Hajj, we are, yani, mashallah, full with Iman. But once we come to the Eid, here we lose our Iman, little, little. And then we have a long journey now, another 8 months to reach the next destination, Ramadan. So what are you going to do in this 8 month journey? You need to prepare yourself. Nawafil. Don't leave the night prayers. Don't abandon the Quran recitation. Don't abandon the adhkar. Morning, evening, sleeping, awake, whatsoever. Don't stop giving sadaqah, even one riyal. Even two people do not ask you. Ya akhi, Allah Ta'ala said, وَيُطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ عَلَى حُبِّهِ مِسْكِينًا وَيَتِيمًا وَأَسِيرًا إِنَّمَا نُطْعِمُكُمْ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ. So it's not necessarily people who come and ask you. You go and feed, even if you invite someone and feed him. This is a reward. This is a reward. Try to do as much as you can of different worships, optional worships. Visit the grave. Go in it. In this time, ya ikhwan, the hujjah of Allah, the proof of Allah against the people is very clear. In the old days, you need to know someone who's sick, so you know him. You know him, so you go visit him. Today it is easy. Just get to any hospital during the time of visit. All doors are open. You just come in. Salaamu alaikum. Kaif halak akhi? This is itself is a worship. You have a spare time, and instead of going to the beach and sitting by your car looking to the sun, go to the hospital and visit some sick people. Go to the grave and give the ibrah, the strike, soften your heart. Now, you have money, you don't know what to do with it. Easy. You go to the private hospitals, you will see in the emergency area many poor people who came in accidents, who are having failure kidneys, or they cannot buy medicine, they cannot. How you go there and see? I've been there once and I saw something. Wallahi, one day I saw a guy, Sudanese guy, was bitten by mice. And he needed the injection. But he did not have the money. He was begging the reception to let him in. But they were saying, "We are sorry. If I do that, I'll be in trouble." SubhanAllah, it is only for some small money. It's around, 50, 100 riyals. Which is easy. Simple. And if we want to reach the wilayah, wallahi, it is easy. Especially today. Akhi, I tell you something. Today, cities are getting wider. Get your car, if you have spare time, and tour around. You see someone, old, especially old, don't take anyone, because some are suspected. Just see old men, old women, say, "Uncle, can I give you a lift?" They will, subrogate for you. I tell you one thing. One day I took my father, rahimahullah, to Mecca for Umrah. And I said to him, okay, father, I'll drop you by the Haram, and I'll go to Kuday, fill up Zamzam, and come back. It was Hajj time. Just before Hajj, the first 7 days of Hajj. So, we set up a place, you know, where the clock to the King Abdul gate. So I said to my father, okay, we'll meet here. I went to Zamzam, and it was very crowded. It took me nearly about 3 hours just to fill the Zamzam. On the way back, it took me another 2 hours to reach. And when I came, they did not allow me to stop to park my car and go get my father. So I was touring around, not knowing what to do. I called my father's house. Did he come? Did he call? No, no, no. I didn't know what to do. I stopped my car in the middle of the road. I ran to the clock. Looked. I didn't see no one. I saw many people, but could not see my father. Came to the car back again. Police, everyone was angry. I said, I'm sorry. I drove my car and turned back. I said, I'll go and come until I find him. On the way back, I found old women from Algeria. They were hijjaj and lost. All, 3-4 women, old and lost. They thought I'm a taxi. I'm not a taxi, I'm in a private car. They stopped me and they said, son, please, where is this address? I said, wallahi, mama, I don't know Mecca, but tell you something. Come in, let's go and find it. I drove, and then I stopped, asked, until we reached the place where they wanted. They wanted to give me money. I said, no money. This is for the sake of Allah. They started making dua. I said, please, make dua that I find my father, and I don't find him angry. My father was somebody who's, you know, high temper. Immediately gets angry and he starts, you know, cursing, insulting and beating, and even if you are 90 years old child, he will beat you. So I called, I keep calling my mom until she said, yes, your father came. I was still in Mecca near the Haram. So I said, alhamdulillah, I said, mom, how is he? She said, he's laughing. He's making jokes of you. I said, subhanAllah, this is not his way. So I drove all the way. I was thinking, should I go to his house or go to my house? Should I go? Maybe I'll better go to my house, and tomorrow, the day after I go to him, he would be calm now. Then I decided to go. I went there. I was expecting a hurricane. Anything that near him, through him. But wallahi ya ikhwan. By the time I entered, he was smiling, laughing at me. And then I said, father, why are you laughing? He said, I made you to spend long time there looking. And I came before you. You are driving, I don't drive. I said, father, why you did that? He said, I looked for you, I didn't see you. You know, I started making jokes. Then I said, or my mom said, isn't it strange that your father is not angry? It's the first time. I said, I'll tell you the reason. In front of my father. I said, when I lost my father, I found lost women. And I gave them rice. And I asked him to make dua that Allah Ta'ala pleases him. Make me find him and make him please. SubhanAllah. See, yani, when you do things, I don't mean that I'm sincere, but at least in that time I was in need for a dua. So maybe for that I was sincere. And I asked these women to make dua, and alhamdulillah, wallahi, immediately, it wasn't when I reached. I called my father's house from there, and I found that he's already there, safe and happy. And happy. So we have to give much care of our worship. And by that Allah Ta'ala will protect us. Don't think of how you run things. Leave things for Allah. You just worship Him. You just worship Him. Allah Ta'ala will sort things for you. أسأل الله بمنه وكرمه أن يرزقني وإياكم الإيمان الكامل والعمل الصالح والله أعلم وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد الصحيح. I thought we are going to make a dark today, but as long as many of the brothers are not available, so inshallah we'll make it maybe next Friday. جزاكم الله خير. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Right. Brother has a question.
Regarding Sadaqa, which you've been able to show, and specifically, you know, like you see these women at traffic lights, holding a child, begging for 1 riyal.
He's taking my question.
He's taking it?
I can feel it.
So we have one question. We have one question from two men.
I haven't talked yet, but
okay.
I know that we give the money, we're only seeking Allah's good.
Yeah.
So we don't really look into their situation as such, okay? But that, the fact of the matter is that we know that it's a scam. And basically, you know, there's a guy behind them, he's got a whole load of women, and they give the money to him. It's just a business for the reason. Because you see the car, he's picking them up at the end of the day, he's looking them up at the beginning of the day. So, you know, obviously, our intention is. But for me, I just feel that why am I making money for something which is very, very corrupt and it's putting these women in hardship? You know, if I was to not give them money, then maybe, you know, this girl would do something else and everything would be free for all they want. You know?
This is a good question. It was raised many times. Those people begging at the traffic lights, whether women or children, or even sometimes men. First of all, here the government in Saudi Arabia, I don't know about other countries, but I know here, they forbid this type of begging. It's not allowed here. Chasing them is a problem to the government, because sometimes they run and be hit by cars. So that's why maybe some people would say, okay, if it is not allowed, why they leave them? First of all, these are illegal people. They don't have any documents for residency. They come for Umrah and remain here. I know that some of them are begging for their own and they are real poor people. But the majority is, as you said, it is either started or turned to be business. Now, I say, if you don't know any poor people other than these, give them an Allah Ta'ala where you want. But if you know poor people, you better go to their places, like Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. He used to go to that woman's house and help her. Now, so if you know some people who are poor and you know their places, it is better to help them occasionally, monthly, whatsoever, better than giving these people who are begging by the traffic lights. Because as you said, it is honestly, it is found that they are, you know, some of them are, you know, gangsters, you know. And I remember a story that was put on the newspaper. A woman from Qasim or Riyadh family came for Umrah, and the mother has a baby, was breastfeed, and a daughter who's around 7-8 years old. The mother told the daughter, be by your brother and do not leave him for whatsoever reason. There was an old woman saw this, and she came close and she said to the girl, please bring me some water. She said, but my mom told me not to leave the baby. She said, I'll take care of the baby. just get me some water from there and come. The girl went, brought the water and came. That woman is not there. The baby is not there. They looked everywhere. They called the police. They checked everywhere. They could not find nothing. After a couple of years, the uncle of this child saw a boy of about 3-4 years old begging by the traffic light. He could recognize the face, but he wasn't so sure. So he decided to call the police and complain that this is his nephew. So he called the police. And the police came, but the police told him, leave it for us. And they were monitoring. It was, as you said, a man came with a station wagon car and collected 3 or 4 children from that intersection. And then he went to other, the police chasing him, other, until he came out of Mecca, outside Mecca to the desert. And they found that he has a place there, fence, wall fence, and a small house inside, full of children. So they rob children, and they treat them like that. They break their hands intentionally. So they make them big. You know? So, the police arrested the man. It was a gang, a man and his wife, with all these children. With their children, as well. Their own children. And he was Egyptian. So, it's as you said, it happens like that. But if you know no poor people except these, give them an Allah Ta'ala, and he will treat them as he subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if you know, and I'm sure that every one of us can know, if we want to know, we can know. And anybody wants to give something constant, come to me and I'll take you to the houses of these poor people. So from you to them, monthly just go and give whatever you want. Small, big, they don't have conditions. Naam? Wallahu a'lam. Any other question? We cannot give a general ruling like that. I said that I knew some of them. And I knew their houses. Right? But again, the government doesn't want this thing to happen. Why they do that? Here they have what we call someone. They have welfare. But welfare is given to residents. Official residents. Now, whoever are not official, do not have documents, they don't give them. Why? Because he's illegal. He should not be illegal. He should correct his state. That's why these people, they go to the rubbish bin and they have men. I know some of them, and they come to, they are renting houses, they have children. Where are they coming from? They have men. And they're men either begging or I like that. But again, the Muslim government here in Saudi Arabia do not want such kind of thing to be exercised and practiced. So we should help the government in order to bring the environment better. But if we go help these people, they will continue like that. And I remember that there were only a few of them. Now there are many because they call each other, come here better. Illegally, do whatever. And this illegal woman will bring a child. This child will be illegal. If this woman is good and, mashallah, nice, you cannot guarantee that the child will be nice. Many of them are bad children. They go for robbing, drugs, and many things. You know? So, yani, my advice is better to find a family who are staying legally, but they are poor. There are some Saudis, there are some non-Saudis, Arabs, non-Arabs, many. And we know them. If anybody wants, we can take him to a family. This is the family. He helped them, from him to them. No one knows between him and Allah. This would be more rewardable and better. Allah Ahla.
Giving a lot of sadaqah, maybe at the end of the year you're below the nisab and you don't pay the zakah.
Khalas, that's good.
So, but you're doing the nawafu and not the fard.
No, not the case. It is exactly like if you are praying nawafil between dhuhr and asr, right? Praying two rak'ah before asr. You got unconscious. We say, you are doing nawafil, but not the fard. No. When the asr time came, you were not in the state of obligation. Same thing. By the year passed, you come and check your money, you are below the nisab. No. No. There's no minimum. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, dirham was rewarded more than 1,000 dirham. Because this dirham was given by a person, given out by a person who had only 2 dirhams. So he gave half of his wealth. The one who gave 1,000 has millions. So it's nothing to him. It depends on the person who receives it, the person who gives it. Whatsoever you give is good. But the best is you give what can be sufficient for them. What can be enough for them. Or there is no limit. The zakah has, that's why the zakah has limit. But for example, Salat al-Dhuhr has a limit, 4 rak'ah. The nafl before dhuhr, the nafl between dhuhr and asr, there is no limit. You can pray as much as you like. 2 rak'ah. But the fard always has limit. Now, hajj, there is a limit, one time in your lifetime. But if you want to do optional, as you like. Now, Allah. Now. Yeah. That is better. That is better reaching than Islam. Because at least this family will have something every month. So they are not going too big until you come after a year and give them. Because through whole year, they are going too big. Or they are going to stay without medicine. Or without electricity. Or without, because they cannot pay. But if you give them constantly, which is going to be better. And that's why Rasulullah ﷺ said, I'm not happy to have gold as much as the size of Uhud, and it remains 3 nights, not 1 year. 3 nights with me. So imagine how much money it is. The mountain of Uhud, gold. Say 3 nights, I want, if it remains for 3 nights, I'll not be happy. Nah.
There's many hadiths that you mentioned today about, for example, Aisha, and she gave all of her wealth in sadaqah.
Now.
Let's say today now, right, we get our salary, and we want to get half of it. But we know that comes the last week before our next salary, we're going to struggle financially, or maybe we won't have money for ourselves. Could we still do that for our customer or not, or should we try to?
The ulama say, when the Prophet ﷺ called for sadaqah, Umar came with something. The Prophet ﷺ asked him, what did you leave for your father? He said, same amount. When Abu Bakr came, he asked him, what did you leave for your family? He said, Allah and His Messenger. Meaning he left nothing. The ulama say it is different. It depends on the person himself. If the person and his family are so strong believers, they don't care if they stay a couple of nights hungry, they don't care of eating certain food like Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam 3 months nothing cooked in their house, only date and water. Such kind of people, it is better for them to give out whatever they have, because it doesn't make difference to them. Doesn't make any difference to them. Even if the money in their hands, they want to spend it on a certain brand of food. They don't do that. I know somebody who, for example, if he's fasting and he's alone, he sometimes think of going to certain restaurants which are nice food, and on the way he says, why? One sandwich, 1 riyal, and give the rest to the poor. And when he is asked, he says, one sandwich did the same thing that that meal will do. Kill my hunger, and that's it, alhamdulillah. And some of them, they go and buy cheap clothes. Not dirty, not worn, but kind of cheap quality. Now, which fits them, it's okay. While the people wear, for example, 150 riyals, so. He buys 75 riyals, so. And he buys another one for a poor person. Say, this is for you. But our problem is, how to reach that? It is by doing many optional worships to increase your iman. When the iman is increased, you will never think of, I'm going to reach end of the month with no money. But if your iman is not yet rich, then there is a fear that you may hate giving the sadaqah. So that's why we say, the person goes gradually. Work on maintaining the iman he has and increasing it. And once it is increased, he will never ever, even if people come and advise him, Akhi, why you do this, he will never ever listen. He will only do what pleases him, which pleases Allah Ta'ala. Now,
I have a question. I just want to give you a small story that happened in this past Ramadan. I was invited to iftar from the Harris in our building. Now, you know the Harris, he has a very small quarters. My son came for Umrah. He came for Umrah and he invited all of my sons and small place. In my building, there's people here that we would say are rich. No one invited me from the neighbors. No one. We came, the Harris, he's this very small place. He's given us soup and date and some all of this food. My son said afterwards, he's richer than anyone in your building. He's the rich one. He's the rich one. These other guys who have all this money and cars, he has no car. He's the hottest. He makes little salary. My son said he's the richest one in the building.
Aye. That's correct. That's true. He's the richest because he knew how to invest. He knew how to invest what Allah Ta'ala gave him. Because he's setting up his business with Allah. Those ones did not know how to invest their wealth. They are holding it to themselves. And if you hold it, it's going to get lost. One day it is going to be spent. It's lost from your heart. If you eat it all, same thing. If you give it to the poor, to the seen, it's gone. But to the real, it's not. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ said, أَيُّكُمْ مَالُ وَارِثِهِ أَحَبُّ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ مَالِهِ. Who of you, the wealth of his inheritance is more important and more better for him than his wealth? They said, none of us, Ya Rasulullah. Every one of us, his wealth is more important to him than the wealth of the inheritance. He said, well, your wealth is what you spend for the sake of Allah. And your inheritance wealth is what you save, what you hold, because you're going to die and leave it for them. But when you work, earn, and for the sake of Allah, you are sending it to there before you. You're sending it to the Jannah before you. You are guaranteeing the place. No? Allahu A'lam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sallam. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.